Okay, thank you everyone for coming. I'm really happy to start this morning session. What I'd like to talk to you about is the experiences and the things I've learned from being involved in two different KD projects. But first, I would like to tell you why I came with the idea of this talk. I'm involved in two projects, the Polish Translation Team and the KD Commit Digest. Both of the projects have their problems, have their challenges. And in fact, when I'm looking at them, the problems they have, they are similar. So I started to think, also being involved with the other projects, in fact, the problems our projects have, they are similar. So I'd like to share the experiences, because if two projects have the same problems, it means that there are much more with the same ones. So first, I'd like to tell you some things about the Polish Translation Team and the KD Commit Digest to give you some context that you then you can better understand the examples I'm going to use. So let's start with the KD Polish Translation Team. Here I have a map with the area where the Polish language is used. It's mostly used in Poland, and depending on the survey, there are about between 40 and 50 million of the speakers worldwide. Polish Translation Team is one of the oldest translation team in KD. The first commit comes from 1st October 97. So it's a really long time. So how does the translation work? In general, on the left hand side for you, you have screenshots from the localized tool. It's a tool used by translators, and the basic work of the translator is to read the message that is in the upper window and write in the local language in the lower window. But that's the basic. The thing is that the story is a little bit more complicated because we want the translation, for instance, to be the same in every program. So if there is a phrase that we are translating in one way in one program, we want this phrase to be translated in the same way between programs. So if the user is using different applications, they have always the same experience, the same phrase used for the same function. They do not have to think about what the possible expression may be. And the workflow in the Polish translation team is probably as far as I know, it's quite similar in the other teams, is that there's the translation, the translators do the translation work, then there is the verification, and at the end the translation, if it's verified for the consistency, for the lack of orthographic problems, their punctuation, all the things that are important for the language, then it gets published. You can see the other, the dotted line, because not long time ago, the Polish translation team worked nearly without verification. It worked when the translation was done by the old-time translators who have done the thing for many years, because all the hard expressions that were already well known between the translators, but we had a change of the generation doing the translation. And it turned out that there are too many things that are not that clean, not that clear between the translators. So we have to verify the translations. And in fact, it turned out that the verification phase is the most time-consuming phase. Going through the translation turned out to be the bottleneck of the process. And now the translation teams, they do not work in isolation. There is some isolation because they work normally on a list of their own language, but there are many translation teams in KDE. So we have a common infrastructure. We do have a shared mailing list. We have some shared infrastructure. For instance, the tools that are extracting the messages from the source code, they are common. The visualization tools, they are common, and stuff like that. Then the KDE commit digest. The goal of the KDE commit digest is to provide a weekly overview of KDE development activity. So what we are aiming at is that every week you get a short summary about what's happening in KDE, what new features are added, what bugs are fixed, and this is based on the commit messages developers do when they are pushing their work into the version control system. So here you have a screenshot of the process of doing the work. And this process is a little bit complicated here. First is the review. So in fact, we decide if this functionality is interesting enough to be included or maybe not. Then there's the classification. So if is it a bug fix? Is it a new feature? Maybe something that's something else. Then someone writes a short summary trying to explain a little more what the most interesting things, something like between 5 and 10 features, and then it gets published. In fact, for the commit digest, you can probably imagine that the number of messages and the number of things needed to do at each level, it goes down, and that's true. The bottleneck in the KDE commit digest is the review process. So that's the thing that requires the most work. Now, we have learned a little bit about the two projects, and what I would like to point out that in both cases, there is a need of the work that's going on all the time. In the case of KDE commit digest, that's probably obvious because the people are committing stuff all the time. And also, to make the commit digest relevant, we have to deal with the number of commits that comes up every day. There's something that between 200 and 300 messages. So to be aligned, that's the amount, the new functions that need to be processed. But that's also the same thing with the translations, because people do change also the basic applications, the basic libraries. If we do not translate for the next version for the user will be less functional, because some messages will be no longer translated. So the level of translation for the user, if there's no work done, it will go down. And also, we have new applications. We have applications that replaced old applications. So the general issue is that the translation must continue for the same level of the user experience. Now, I'd like to share with you certain things I've learned from those two projects. I also find this experience of preparing this talk very interesting because it allowed me to list things up, and as I have limited time, to just point out the most important things I've learned from those two projects. So let's start with the first question that you may find absolutely obvious, but it's a very important question. When you get involved in a project, you need to know why you need to ask yourself a question, why you are contributing to this project. Because if you know this question, you know what's the most important thing in this project for you. I can give you an example. In the translations, you have several options where you get involved. Either you get involved because you want the translation done well for you. You want to have the KDE environment that works well in your language. Probably it means that you are a very advanced language user. You want the translation to be correct. But there are other options. You may be translating because you know someone, maybe your friends, your family, who will not be able to use the software if they do not get the version in their language. And that, if you have answer to this question, you can find out what's the most important. So maybe you are going to concentrate on the quality of the translation, or maybe you are going to concentrate on the quantity of the translation. And then, if you know that, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know any open source project that has enough people to work on it? Raise your hand if you know. And now look around. But you probably expected that. No one. That's the thing. So you have the work, and I do not know any project like that myself neither. It means that we cannot do everything we would like to do. So it means that we need to choose what we are doing. If you know why you are doing the project, you know what's the most important thing for you in this project. So it means that that allows you to concentrate on the important things. Some examples. In the Polish translation team, we have had a small problem with the translation quality. And what we have came up with is that we are going to change the policy. We are adding the mandatory validation phase for every single translation that gets in. That adds the work, but that's the thing that's important for us, because we want to have the translation to be done pretty well. For the KDE Commit Digest, the amount of work being high, there is some work in progress. I do not have unfortunately, I don't have time to finish it, to use some technical means to make the process a little more automatic. So it's important to decide on the changes when you know what the most important thing for you is. That's not all. Yet another very obvious thing. If you have a doubt what you are going to do in your project, it's a really, really good idea to ask questions. You may think that nobody has an answer for you, but you will be really surprised. I had two cases, one in both projects of that. For the translations, I had a problem with the process for the verification. How to organize it. I asked a question on the translator's common translation mailing list, and I got a lot of answers with a lot of different possibilities. I'm really grateful for all the answers. I was able to try the methods, find the method that for our case works best. That was really awesome. I would really recommend you to try it before getting into some attempts to solve the situation, because you will find out that the people really have answers to your questions. For the Comic Digest, in fact, there was a very good discussion about the way what people find hard in the process, and in fact, their way of seeing the thing that was different than mine, and I finally found out that it was better than mine. This was more up to the point. And I'm really also very grateful for all discussion that took place on this. I think in both cases, the discussions allowed to really improve the process, and it wouldn't be possible without the discussion and without the help of the community. Another thing that is linked to that is that you can reuse the work of someone else. In the translations, in my case, it's much easier because there are many translation teams, and we can share the code share the tools we are using for certain things between us. And it is a very good idea. For instance, we are using the translation assignment tools that were developed by the French team. Big thanks for this work. So we didn't have to implement something on our own. What I also found that absolutely important is that if you do not make your project known, you will not get to a project goal, with a small exception of the case if you are doing the project absolutely for your own, you do not want any users and you do not want any new developers, but I think there are not that many. If you want new users, you should tell the users that your project exists. If you will be just sitting there, they won't find you, really. That's sad, but that's how it works. If you want the new developers, you need to be clear also that you really want them to come. And maybe the methods of contacting the new developers and the users, they're changing. And I think so. For the last month, for instance, we do not have any new translators in the Polish team. That worries me a little bit. Up to this point, the link we had in the KDE application and the link to the mailing list was enough. It seemed that at this point, it's not. It's no longer enough. I'm not sure why. If some of you may have some insight on that, that would be great to hear. But I think we need to try to use some new methods of communications. Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter, stuff like that. I think it's more for the new developers than the mailing list we were using up to this point. I'm not really sure, but I think that's my intuition about this. So I was talking about really serious thing, but what I find very important about the open source project is that we are doing it because we want it. We want to do it. So in the things you are doing, find the fun of it. If you have lost it, try to find it yet again. If you are really burned out, maybe try to find some new things to do in your project. And in fact, if you answer yourself the question why you are doing it, it will be much easier for you to find out what is important, what gives you fun, and why, how you are going to implement it in the future. So that's the summary of the things I wanted to share with you. That's not really all I've learned, but with the limited time, I didn't really want to put every single idea I had. I'm really grateful if you have some suggestions, both technical and non-technical ones. I'm waiting for the questions. Thank you.
Not really a question, more a remark. You talked about reaching out to translators, for example, to via social media and so on. There are KDE or KDE community accounts on basically all of these networks that we have access to. And I'd be happy to help you promote translations there. And that goes for everyone else who could make use of something like that as well, of course.
Yeah, thank you. That is definitely helpful, but I think the translation case is very specific because we need to get to the users in their native language, probably. And I'm not sure if the general mailing list have enough outreach in those groups. It is a little more complicated to find the local resources we can use, like the local blogs, local information sites, local blogs or local Twitter accounts. I think that it could be done, but we need to work more on that.
Questions?
You said you were a bit worried because in the last couple of months you didn't see any new translators. Is the throughput normally so high that you have a new translator every month?
Yeah, how it was in the recent years, it was usually every new person every 2 months. But usually they didn't stay for long because we had the first few files that were really in the verification, so they were checked. They were just small warm-up, few messages over, 10 messages or 20, to translate to find out if the person can use the tools, if it works well. And normally, the person finally decided not to continue. So with that, with the rate of something like every person every 2 months, we had something like 1 or 2 person per year who stayed for longer. So it's extremely important because the drop rate is quite high.
Anyone else?
Yes, have you tried to find translators out of the Linux community or out of the free software community? Because I'm aware that there are volunteer groups of translators. I don't know if you have tried any of that.
We have not tried. I'm not sure how to reach people who may be interested in that. This is a good idea. Currently, all the translators are also users. At this moment, also the change of generation was a change from the developers also to the people who are just users. Currently, the translators who are translators now, they are not developers, they're users. And so I find it also important. The problem really is how we can reach with our work to the people outside, yes.
Anyone else?
Yeah. You're lucky that you had like two new translators every 2 months, because in the Italian team it's really, really worse than that. So just a reminder, because we will have a both discussion, an informal discussion between translators on Monday, if I remember, at 3. So if you are interested in seeing how we, it will be just informal, but it will be an occasion to discuss a bit more about within all the translations teams, hopefully, the ones that are here around in the conference. And that's it. And thank you again for that.
Another question? Well, thank you very much for coming. Thank you, Marta.
Thank you.
Nice talk. And we'll see each other over the academy, I guess.